You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come to make us friends with God and with one another. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when I was in undergrad in this little tiny town called Seward, Nebraska, I was lucky enough to find myself a job where I was bartender at one of the local bars. There were like three local bars in town, and they were sort of like rival clubs, if you will. But the three bars were kind of like they were centers of socialization. They weren't just a place where you went to go and get a drink. They weren't anything fancy. I think I probably served more Bush Light than I served anything else. But because of that, there were all of these people that would come in, and they would, you know, they'd come and they'd want to know what's happening at somebody's farm. They'd want to know what's happening down at the factory. They'd want to know what's happening somewhere in town, and they would know that the way that you did that was you went to the bar and you started talking to folks, and pretty soon you would walk away with all of the information that you needed for that week about what was happening in town. And that meant that I was placed in a very interesting spot as kind of a person at the center of this web that started to construct itself out. Because as the bartender, I was the person who everybody had to talk to if they were coming to the bar and they were there on my shift. And so I started to find myself in this kind of weird place of being, you know, a minor celebrity in a small Nebraska town. And it was kind of interesting because not only did I know most of the people in town, but I could start to connect people. I could start to connect people with, you know, kind of what they needed. I could connect you to a good auto mechanic in town. I could connect you to somebody who I knew was looking for a job. I could connect you to the drug dealers in town. I could connect you to all sorts of folks that maybe you might want to know. And so because of that, I found myself in this place where I was at the center of this web. And at the center of this web, you started to see how valuable it was to have friends, how valuable it was to have people in your kind of social network. And as I started to learn that, I started to kind of wonder, like, oh, okay, like, you know, as I kind of grow in this role, you know, where could this take me? Had I not graduated, I probably could have been mayor of a small Nebraska town. In fact, my boss had been the mayor of this exact small Nebraska town, and I'm pretty sure that that is how he got to be mayor. Because having friends and having those connections, well, that's kind of important. That's kind of important to us as human beings because a friend can do all sorts of things for you. A friend can vouch for you. A friend can connect you with other people. A friend can kind of open doors for you. And as we start to look at these readings today, we start to see the importance of friends. We start to see the importance of those kind of social networks that are out there. And so as we begin, we start off with this reading from Acts 10. Now, this reading from Acts 10, you know, the way that we present it to you in the lectionary is a crime. I mean, it's just so terrible because, you know, you get all of a sudden, you've got Peter speaking, and it's another boring sermon from Peter, right? You know, you've got this kind of sense of, yeah, like Peter is just kind of giving you this sermon, and probably by the second sentence or so, you go, yeah, okay, Peter, I get it. Like, this is kind of basic Christian theology. I think I'm going to tune out. I'm going to think about, you know, my Publix list whatever that is. And that's because we're presenting it to you without much context. Because when you hear this, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I heard this before. This is kind of what Peter said at Pentecost. But then when you look at the number that comes right after that word Acts, you see that it's in chapter 10. And chapter 10, that's like 8 chapters away from Pentecost. And so that maybe starts you to wonder, like, okay, well, what's happening here? Well, what has happened is that Peter has had this momentous experience where he's seen this crazy vision from God, and this crazy vision from God has told him that, hey, the Gentiles are A-okay. They can be Christians. It's all right. They don't need to sort of become Jews first and then Christians later. That they're okay. They're in. And that's why Peter starts off the way that he does. He says, now I see that God shows no partiality. He's saying, like, God doesn't prefer Jewish people over Gentile people. And that's because he has just seen the baptism of somebody that he probably thought that he wouldn't see the baptism of. And that's a Roman centurion, a Roman officer named Cornelius. Not only did Cornelius get baptized, but his entire household gets baptized, probably because he's a Roman officer, and he's like, hey, I'm getting baptized, so are the rest of us. And so they all get baptized, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, this confirms to Peter, like, oh, man, this is what God was talking about. And because he is having that confirmed for him, he is now speaking out to all of the people there as the friend of Cornelius and all of his baptized household. He's saying, these people are now our friends. They're now in the group when they wouldn't have been before. I mean, we're talking about a Roman centurion, somebody who is a part of the occupying force of Jerusalem, somebody who probably would have been hated for his vocation. And so Peter gets up, and as a friend to Cornelius and his whole household, he preaches this sermon that says that where this all starts is with Jesus. Where this all starts is with this guy named Jesus who was crucified, died, was buried, and rose again from the tomb. And because he rose again from the tomb, he's gathering all people to himself now, not only Jews, but now also Gentiles who are receiving this gift of the Holy Spirit. And as he's standing there, he's showing them the greatness of what it is that they are now including the Gentiles into this community, into this group of friends. And he's saying, these people are now our friends. These people are now in our network. These people are now alongside of us. And it's this momentous experience in the early church as they start to grow, as they start to see what God's grace really means, that God's grace isn't just something that is handed to the right kind of people, but that God's grace is handed to anyone that will believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it's this momentous moment for the church as it begins to really, really grasp what it means that Jesus is our friend. Because that's what this gospel lesson is all about, right? Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to his disciples, and he's saying that, hey, I call you friends now. I don't call you servants. You're not just people that I'm paying. You're not just people that are here along for the ride. You're not just people that are underlings, but you are my friends. And being friends with Jesus is a pretty great thing. Because if you're talking about somebody who can give you access through friendship, well, Jesus can give you a lot of access. Jesus can give you access to all sorts of people, but the most important person that he can give you access to is the rest of the Trinity. He can give you access to the other persons of the Trinity. He can say, now you have access not only to me, but you have access to God the Father. You have access to God the Holy Spirit. You are now included into this community of God, which has been this sort of tight-knit community up until the point when Jesus breaks it open on the cross and includes all of humanity through his grace into the people of God. And that's pretty great. Because we all kind of know what it feels like to sort of have gaps in our community. We know what it's like to kind of feel what it's like to be alone and kind of left out in the cold. We know what it feels like to know that we don't know the right people. You know, whether that's when we walk into a room of strangers and we're just kind of looking out in the crowd to see if there's somebody that we maybe recognize that we can maybe talk to, and maybe that person will introduce us to somebody else. We know that feeling of sort of missing out on community there. We also know that feeling of missing out on community when we feel like we don't have the resources that we need, and we don't know who to turn to. I was having this conversation at the end of church last week, and I was talking about our community here at University Lutheran, and I was like, oh yeah, University Lutheran is great. We've got a great community, and you know, we can connect you with doctors, we can connect you with lawyers, we can connect you with meteorologists, we can connect you with teachers, but We're kind of lacking in connecting you with mechanics and carpenters and plumbers. When somebody asks me, like, hey, Pastor, do you know anybody who does this kind of stuff? I'm like, well, I know them because they've worked on my house, but I don't really know them. They don't go to church here. And so we're going to do a recruitment drive later on for people that have been to trade school, so that we can kind of flesh out our community here. But we kind of know what that's like to go like, oh man, I don't know who to go to. I feel like I'm sort of left out in the cold. And that is another experience of what it's like to be in sin. Because what sin does is sin alienates us from God. Sin alienates us from other people. And because sin has that alienating quality about it, we need a friend. And 1 John puts it in this kind of really interesting way as you kind of unpack what's in there in 1 John. Now, 1 John is written in this kind of poetic style. It's a little bit hard for us to grapple with. You've probably seen that in the rest of the Easter season where we've been reading 1 John. 1 John is not an easy read because he kind of talks about things circularly. But basically what 1 John is saying this morning in those readings is that we are friends with God through Jesus Christ. So we're friends with Jesus, and because we're friends with Jesus, we kind of get to be friends with his dad. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you knew somebody in grade school or high school and you went over to their house, and all of a sudden you not only knew that person from your class, but now you knew their parents, and sometimes that was cool. And you kind of said, well, like, they're kind of my friend now. Well, that's how it is with God, that all of a sudden we know Jesus, and because of that we know God the Father, we know God the Holy Spirit. But not only that, because then 1 John kind of expands it out. John expands it out as he's writing to the people of Ephesus, and he says, well, not only do we have connection with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, but we have connection with the children of God. So that can't mean Jesus, because Jesus is singular. It can't mean God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, because they're not children. It means that we are now friends with one another. That because we're being drawn to God by our friendship with Jesus, at the very same moment we're being drawn together to one another, to love one another as he has loved us. to exist in a friendship that is bringing us a network and a community of people that are all together with him so that we don't have to feel alienated. But rather, we can know that we have community with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and with all of the people that believe in Christ. And we just want that to grow. We want to be like Peter. We want to see that grow as we see people included into God's grace because it's God's grace. People like Cornelius and his whole household being brought into our network and us rejoicing in that as we see that they are receiving the same grace that we receive, that same grace that makes us friends with Jesus, that same grace that makes us friends with God the Father, that same grace that makes us friends with the Holy Spirit, that same grace that unites us together as a church that is marching toward this great reality that when Jesus comes back, in that resurrection moment, we are going to feel something that we haven't ever felt. We're going to feel this moment of complete connection. Now, I don't know about you, but I identify as an introvert. There are some of you that identify as extroverts, and you're weird, but that's okay. But one of the things that they say about extroverts, it usually, is one of the things that you overhear is you hear people say, well, they never met a stranger. These people that have this gift to walk into wherever it is and to suddenly sort of have this connection with all of these people. Well, that's what the resurrection is going to be like. Along with plenty of time for you introverts to go into another room and read. But that we will have this moment where we are connected completely to God the Father, to God the Holy Spirit, and to the other people that are there with us. Because they're there with us, because they too are friends with Christ. And in that moment, he will have completely erased every evidence of alienating sin. And we will be with one another. So as you go out into this week, you're going to encounter those moments where you feel that alienating sin at work. You're going to feel moments where you wish that you had a friend. And in those moments, remember that you have the greatest friend in Jesus because he has connected you to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But in that moment, also remember that what he is doing is he is gathering friends around you through his grace. And maybe a part of the reason that you're in that moment is to see what he's doing and see who he's gathering and rejoice in it as Peter did. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.